at Voices Radio Network.
Franco is pretty smart, but Franco is a child. And when it comes to the day of the contest, I'm his father. He comes to me for advices. So it's not that hard for me to give him the wrong advices.
Hey, what's up, guys? Welcome back to Advices Radio. You're listening to episode number 98. I'm Scott McNally, and this program is brought to you by TrueNutrition.com. You can use our code ADVICES to support the show. And thank you to everybody who has been using the code. Like I mentioned on the last episode with Ron Partlow, we got our numbers back for the first month of True Nutrition, and things were looking good. So I appreciate it, guys. I do, from the bottom of my heart, because by helping to support the program, you're allowing me to put more time into trying to make this thing as great as it can be. And I know in my heart that we can do a lot with this. I want to keep getting the guests on that you guys want to hear. I want to keep building this thing up. And today is no exception, because I know you guys want to hear from Luke Sando. We're in this cool period right now, the history of bodybuilding, where we can have somebody like Luke that has this fantastic physique that we can all cheer for. And at the same time, he's still somebody that we can relate to. He's still a human being. I'm so grateful that this is where we are at in bodybuilding, and it's so cool to get a chance to sit down and talk with him today. He just got home from Columbus, and it won't be long from now until he flies back out to the Arnold, Australia. So we're going to talk to him about his reflections on the contest. We're going to talk to him about some of the techniques and strategies that he and Coach Chris Aceto used to diet him down and put that final piece together, because we all knew that Luke had the size to match anybody on that stage. And now he got the conditioning to go with that. We're going to talk to him about protocols they used to get him to peak, to get his water to get dropped exactly the way that they wanted it. And we're going to talk to him about what their strategies are going into Australia. So thank you, everybody, for listening to the program. If you feel so inclined, you can leave us a good review at iTunes. That always helps. You can reach us there at iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We're now on YouTube. You can find us on your favorite podcast app. And of course, you could download or stream the show at advicesradio.com. Much more to come. Let's get to IFBB Pro Luke Sando. All right, guys, welcome back to Advices Radio. Up next, back from his third place win at the Arnold Classic Columbus, IFBB Pro Luke Sandow. Luke, welcome back to the show, man, and congratulations on the awesome placing.
It's mental, isn't it? That is mental. Even just hearing you say that, it's still crazy. But yeah, thank you very much for having me on. It's very kind of you.
Dude, my mind was blowing. I saw you step on stage. Okay, and I just, everything came together. Like, I was afraid. I saw your pictures leading up to it, and you looked so good. I remember I was talking to one of my co-hosts, Skip Hill, and he was like, yeah, Luke looks so good. I'm just praying, don't mess this up. Don't mess this up, you know?
I heard that a lot. That's me. That's Chris and I. It's like our mantra. So it's like an inside joke, almost. We'll just tell each other all the time, like, don't fuck it up. And then, we say it all the time to each other, have we still got time to fuck it up? Should we fuck it up? And then, when I was in the crowd, in the pose down, I just saw, just out of the corner of my eye, I saw Chris stand up.
Yeah.
And he just said, have we still got time to fuck it up? in the post town. He is a very funny man. So
tell me about it. What was different this year What did you do to get where you were? Oh, man,
it's obviously the cookies, isn't it? That's what it is. No, it's, in all fairness, it's just my, it's very much just my mindset's been different. You know what, looking back at California, I'm quite happy in a way that it happened now. Because it strengthened Chris and I's, like, working relationship a lot more. Changed my mindset towards literally everything in my life, and it made me kind of realize I was in a position where I get to enjoy everything I do, and I do enjoy everything I do, and it's my job now. I take pride in my work, and the other, when it comes to nutrition and diet and things like that, what I've done differently, it's really simple. It's really easy for me to get in shape. Who the fuck knew?
Really? It's,
yeah, I have a really fast metabolism.
Huh. This is weird, this is right? Like the opposite of everything that we were thinking.
We all thought I had a shit metabolism.
What think about it? How did you figure this out?
Well, I mean, a lot of coaches I've worked with in the past, and I would have made the same mistake with me. I drop weight really quick at the beginning when my food's really high, and I just get lean really fast at the beginning.
Okay.
And so because you're getting leaner, and then it gets to that point where you look a bit shit because you're flat all the time.
Yeah.
And then they think, oh, he's just not losing fat anymore. So we'll push him harder, push him harder, push him harder. And I kind of maintain that softish look.
Mm.
And it just, to them, it looks like I'm just not getting leaner. So we just attack it really hard. And that only, because which is why all my progress pictures always used to look really good up until that kind of 6 week out mark.
Yeah, yeah.
And then at that point, everyone kind of just starts pushing. But Chris just hasn't changed. My diet has changed like twice. And I didn't dip under 265 until about 10 days out.
I'll be damned.
And he just kept feeding me up, just letting he just said, yep, you're leaner, that's not changing anything. And I was eating a good amount of food. And also, because I was eating more food, I was able to train insanely hard the whole way up.
Wow.
Like I was in the off season. And because I wasn't like dragging my ass around feeling like death all the time, granted, I was very tired. But because my mindset is so different, I was just enjoying every day. I was like, yeah, I'm tired, but I got stuff to do. And I just got on with it.
That's cool, man.
And it was just like, I didn't suffer because I'm enjoying it. And I just kind of gave everything more of a positive, like, way of looking at it, really, like a positive point of view, because everybody likes to fucking moan and complain. And I was like, no, this is amazing. I get to do this for a job. So I just took it more seriously. I became much more organized. I did everything Chris said. And having a clear mind and feeding a rested body. And that's what happened, and these are the results you kind of get. So it was just consistency and not dropping my food too much, and it's been crazy. I mean, even after since the show, my metabolism's been crazy again, and he's having to feed me up for the next 3 days when everyone else is probably depleting. So.
No kidding. So yeah. Looking at this, it sounds like you've solidified a lot of things just even since we spoke to you just a couple weeks ago.
Yeah.
I remember then you said, I still don't even know how I feel about California. And it sounds like you've solidified a lot of thoughts. This has kind of brought you full circle now.
Well, I mean, everyone wrote me off for starter. That pissed me off a little bit. I was like, I don't deserve that. It's not because I look shit. It's just the whole thing was bad. So that annoyed me a little bit. And then, secondly, obviously, nearly fucking dying. Mm. It changed my whole mindset to things, and you know, after that, I fell out of love with bodybuilding a little bit. I took it a little bit personally as well. And I just got my shit together, really.
So do you see it now, man? You honestly, you're one of the best.
Yeah,
you really are.
Well, just have a sip of water. I'm still really thirsty.
Are you?
It's because he's pushing my sodium up now.
Okay.
And so and then I've just been mega thirsty today because of that. Sorry.
Have you been stepping on the scale?
Yeah, I was 262 this morning, okay. which is quite light for me.
Yeah.
I'm really depleted.
Okay. You just got home, right?
I got home 2 days ago now. Yeah.
Okay, two days ago.
That's my second full day home. So.
Okay. And back in the gym.
Yeah, I literally got off the plane. We went. I drove us to the airport. So we got off the plane. We drove back to Ben's apartment, had some food, and went straight to the gym. And then I didn't get home until the evening. So
nice. And so I imagine Ben got some really good material for Brutal Muscle.
Yeah, so that's what I was like, yeah, that is a good plug. Nice. yeah, so the whole we filmed every day, everything we could, all week.
No kidding.
So there is a video for every single day, and we were there for 5 days. So pretty much every day starts with me getting up, saying what we're getting my text from Chris, eating, going over to his room, posing, him changing things, going back to my room, eating, going around the expo, interviews with like Ed Connors and Sean Roden. We got the meet and greet. We got all the backstage. We got on stage, off stage, everything.
Nice.
And we've got it all up in the trenches section on muscleonline.com.
That's so badass, man.
And the final one went up today. So it's about, and that's about 50 minutes long, and that's show day. That's everything up to pre-judging, and then the actual pre-judging, and then the night show.
Hell yeah. I have to say, I was lucky enough to see you backstage right after everything went down.
Yeah, yeah.
You look shocked. You look shocked.
Well, I'm still am, mate. No one expected that. I mean, I think I was the only one in the world that had the slightest inkling that I could do that.
Mm.
I mean, the craziest thing in the world is, so many people have had, even said, if you'd won it, no one would have been like, that's shit. Everyone would have been like, yeah, right.
Yeah.
So if I had won, yeah, it would have been controversial, but everyone would have been like, yeah, all right.
Yeah, I could definitely see I think
I got placed fairly. That's, yeah. Which is fine. I got placed fairly. I'm not saying that.
No.
But people are saying that, which means, you know, that's, which is a really nice thing to hear. There's people that think I'm even better than third place. That's kind of what I was getting at. I mean, I don't think that, but I thought third was perfect.
Absolutely.
But it was just...
Yeah, the judging I thought was done really well. Had they placed you even higher, I could definitely see if they put you in second, I would not have argued with that at all. You know what I think really nails it, man? With how much size you have, you have amazing control to your midsection. I would think to fill out that amount of muscle that you would start to get some distension, but your midsection is really tight. You could even pull a vacuum, which looks crazy on you.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of reasons for that. I'm not, contrived to what people believe. I'm not a big GH insulin guy. I never have been, which might be part of it. And I also, on show day, I'm adamant that I want to say to Chris, I want to eat as little as possible on show day.
Really?
Because I want to be able to do that vacuum. And I practice, I want to be full when I wake up.
Ah, okay.
And then all I have to do is maintain that. And maybe if I need to fill out more, rely on fluid and sodium more so than food. Because, you know, if I've got a fucking stomach full of food, I'm never going to be able to do a vacuum. And I think that vacuum is something that I personally wanted that as like a personal thing, like a self challenge to bring that to the open.
Yeah.
I found that pretty well. Looks pretty cool. I think it looks fine.
Absolutely.
But the midsection control is not as difficult as people think it is. It's just a lot of bodybuilders are lazy with it, I guess. I mean, I'm nowhere near perfect at all, but it's just something I try and be conscious of, because I don't have the nicest, smallest midsection naturally. So, I have to control it as best I can, try and make it look as small as possible. I don't have a big waist. I just don't have a tiny waist. So, I want to make it's something that's been a big complaint in the sport, is that people aren't controlling their midsections and there's no vacuums, guts, blah, 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 blah. And I thought, well, I mean, really did a good job. So why can't I just try? If I can try that, that might be another, like a little tool in my arsenal that I'm holding against the other guys a little bit. So.
Yeah.
And that's what a lot of the old school guys used to do.
Yeah, that makes sense. So you said the carbs, you wanted to be full beforehand so that your stomach could be empty and you could have better control over the day of. What did your carb up look like, out of curiosity?
It was actually pretty mild. You know what? I ended up actually eating more on show day than I did, ironically. Maybe not more. I'd say maybe more carbs or less food.
Okay.
It was typically just rice, chicken or beef with rice, or potato, And then if Chris wanted me fuller, he would add in either some cookies or, well, yeah, pretty much just cookies. I'd add like two or say four. I think I had a couple of donuts here and there as well. But the basis of the meals were just chicken and rice and things. And if I wasn't filling out as much as they'd like, instead of upping the beef or the rice, instead of upping just the rice, which is going to cause me to put more food in my stomach, would go for something a little bit denser, easier to digest. So again, for the whole midsection reason.
Nice.
So, and that works well. And then on the day of the show, I mentioned that we had like more carb dense meals. And this is something I'm probably going to do in Australia more, is cream of rice, like whole eggs, cream of rice and like jam all in a bowl.
Oh, nice.
And that was really good because there's some fats in there, some sugars in there. It's a lot of food, but it's not particularly voluminous. And there's enough fluid in there to not need to drink anything as well.
Okay. And
that works really well.
The show is on a Saturday. When did you actually start the carb up process?
Probably Wednesday, I think it was. We started putting carbs in Wednesday, actually. Yeah. So it was about maybe 300-400 grams of carbs Wednesday, just to see what happened.
All right. And then how often would Chris take a look at you?
Every like 3 hours.
Really?
Yeah, he was in the hotel next to me, so he was just like, whenever you're free, come down. And then he would just be like, where are you? Come down.
And now I know out of just my own experience, just competing as like a state level guy, there's that moment where you see it all come together and you know, okay, we're where we want to be. This is going to work. Where were you at that point? When did you see that?
In the hotel room on the Friday morning.
Friday morning, yeah. Huh?
No, sorry, the Saturday morning.
Oh, Saturday morning.
I don't even remember. I just remember landing, like, I look all right. And then the next day, Chris was like, whoa, you dropped a lot. And I went, yeah, because I drop a lot of water when I sleep.
Oh, okay.
So normally when I land, I'm holding a bit of water in my lower body. And then I have a good night's sleep, and then I wake up, and it's 90% of it's already gone. Mm. And that happens to be every day. So, but obviously a lot worse when I fly. And then I probably got sort of, so we came in Monday, so probably by Wednesday morning, like, I was just so much harder than I'd ever been. And, like, every time I went to see Chris, he would just kind of start laughing every time I stripped down.
That's so cool, man.
And his excitement got more and more every day. And then by Friday, when I stripped down, it's on the site, you can see it, he just started saying, you look fucking insane. He said I look phenomenal with an F. And he's like taking photos of me and sending them to Jay Cutler and Sean and everyone.
Oh, that's so cool, man.
So that was and then he'd be like, look at your glutes, he'd be like, look at your back, your Christmas tree, and then I'd turn around and be like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
As he got more excited, and Ben was just I could just see the look in Ben's face. I was like, right, I'm getting there now, this is good. And then he'd show me the photos. I mean, I remember he just showed me one set of photos, and I think I started laughing because I was like, I couldn't recognize myself.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I always drop water really well. I've never had a problem drying out. I've just not been lean enough. That's why I always transform a lot in the last 4 or 5 days.
Mm.
Even if I'm not that lean, I still drop a significant amount of water, so it looks like I've changed a lot.
Okay.
So being this time that I pretty much have not really any body fat left, and then drying out, fucking hell, what a difference.
Yeah. We talk a lot about the techniques that the guys use here on Advices Radio programs. And to get to sit with you and talk with one of the guys who was the best at the Urinal Classic, I want to ask you too about the water. How did you guys run that? What do you are you a guy who keeps water in high till
the
end?
We drink a lot of water anyway, and then it was just normal water. And then I think on Thursday Chris said, okay, 10 ounces of water. No, it was Wednesday, so I said 10 ounces per meal today.
Okay,
next day, okay, cool, let's do 8 ounces today. And then I got significantly drier, and then I think he was like, okay, let's do 8 ounces of meal. And then up to the time we went on stage, it was 8 ounces of water per meal.
Interesting.
So all he did is just control it, and then it got to the point where I was having sodium on every other meal. That was it.
Oh, really? So you actually, and before that, were you having sodium with every meal?
Yeah, like you would just say, have as much sodium as you can handle, basically.
Wow.
And I do anyway, because I drown everything in soy sauce.
Okay.
And smoked sea salt. So yeah, and then when we reduced the salt and started controlling water, we didn't take either one of them out. He just controlled them.
Hmm.
That was it.
Because
I was drying out so well and staying full and not cramping, it was like a sweet spot.
Oh, nice, man.
Yeah. So that's the thing. If I need to dry it anymore, I could do 6 ounces I can do four fourths. There's so much more water I could take out just by drinking a tiny bit less.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, so it's nice. And I didn't haven't really rebounded at all. I'm actually still drier than I was before. I'm drier now than I was before, when I was 10 days out before.
No kidding.
So I think I'm 10 days out from Australia now, and I'm harder now than I was 10 days out from the Arnold.
Hey guys, why are you using sports nutrition that was designed for someone else? At TrueNutrition.com, they offer the world's largest selection of quality protein powders, and they let you design your own custom blend from a variety of powders, flavors, boosts, and packaging options, like the Team Skip blend, for instance. That's over 20 billion possible combinations to create a protein powder tailored to your diet, your goals, your tastes, and your budget. TrueNutrition.com also offers the ability to create delicious custom oatmeal blends. And they're third-party tested, proving that all their supplements are ensured to have the highest level of quality and value. Don't be a sucker and pay for fancy packaging and gimmicks. Discover the source that bodybuilders trust and stop using mass-produced nutrition that wasn't designed for you. TrueNutrition.com. And use our code ADVICES at checkout to let them know that you support the shows.
So what's the game plan from here? When will you leave for Australia, and what's going to happen between now and then?
Ben and I fly out on Tuesday, so we actually get to Tuesday morning, and we actually get to Australia Wednesday evening.
Oh, wow.
Which is the time difference. It's 24 hours of flight. I'm actually going business class, and I requested this, and Redcon and Tony Doherty actually kind of coughed up together.
Nice.
That was my only prerequisite. I was like, I will pay for my own apartment if you guys can just upgrade my flight.
Nice.
That was my only thing, because I thought it's a long travel. I'm not going to land in till a little bit later, so I've got enough time to acclimatize at home.
Yeah.
So I thought, if I can make the travel better, I'll pay for my own apartment, because then at least I know I've got a good cooking facility. So basically, I needed a nice stress-free week. So I think flying out a bit later this time will be absolutely fine, because I'm much more confident flight. So, you know, so hopefully it won't interfere with the peak or anything, but that's the only real change will be, is I'll be flying in a couple of days later. But I think Chris dragged me out very, very slowly for the Arnold.
Okay.
And I was already, I think he held back.
Mm.
So this time you won't need to hold back and stride out over 3 days.
Okay.
So you said over 4 or 5.
Was it, you say Wednesday night is when you're coming in?
Yes. Yeah, so I land Wednesday evening, so I'll just land, go to bed.
Okay.
And then I'll wake up fresh Thursday morning.
All right. And you guys will probably, I'm going to guess, I'll probably start adding carbs pretty soon from there, huh?
Yeah, I'll probably start adding when I land, yeah. I mean, he might even get me to eat some on the flight.
Okay.
You know, so we'll see. We will see. I mean, he didn't carb load me really particularly hard. So I think because he's actually filling me up over the next 2 days, he might not run me too flat into the flight.
Yeah.
So he doesn't have to carb me up too much at the other end.
Nice.
But one thing that Chris has said is you will be better in Australia.
Really? If Chris Aceto says that, then look out.
He says you'll be. Everything he says, he's right about.
Hmm.
Like, after prejudging, my legs were really flat.
Yeah.
Because obviously we tried to come in dry, not that full.
Right.
So my lower body started fading a little bit. I had a couple of meals, and Chris said, you know, lie down for 45 minutes. They will 100% be better when they come back. I came back and they filled straight back out and hadn't really done anything.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the one thing I noticed, and I mentioned it to you, was that I had seen your legs fuller than that, but that's the compromise it took to get you to be where you needed to be, right?
Yeah, in the night show, they were a lot fuller
and
harder, because we put more sodium and food back in.
Okay.
So we'll see what happens next time, but yeah, Chris has said you will be better.
Interesting, so, man.
If Chris says that, I mean, he knows.
And so from there, do you have any thoughts about where you're going to go from here? Are you going to shut it down then, or?
I have to win Australia to shut it down.
Okay. Really?
Yeah. And I think if I'm better than if I'm a little bit better than I was at the Arnold, even based on what you just said, there's no reason why I can't beat William Bonac. Because I'm just a totally different physique. I mean, it's just going to be like, if we're both in shape, we're both relatively have the same amount of muscle, We have we're just so different. It's and the only thing it's like, what would you prefer? Who do you want to win?
How tall are you?
5'8".
5'8". I feel like you're taller than him.
I'm taller than William. William's about 5'7", 5'6".
Okay.
So I'm a little bit taller than him as well. Well, I'm wider than he is.
Yep.
We're just totally different. We're totally different physiques. I mean, totally different. And I've seen footage of us standing next to each other. And there are shots I beat him on, the shots he beats me on.
Yeah, he's definitely, he has a lot of density. We'll see what happens. You know, he could come in better than he had, or
he may not.
Yeah.
But I've already stood next to him, so I know what I need to do to try and at least try and get ahead.
Interesting.
Well, you don't know. Josh might lose a lot and come in shredded and win the whole thing. You never know.
Yeah.
You have no idea.
Who stood out to you at the Arnold?
In terms of
Who did you like? When you looked at the competitors,
Brandon. Yeah. I've never competed with Brandon, and Brandon was just like ridiculous.
Yeah, he looked really cool.
Yeah, he's phenomenal. He's definitely an illusion.
Yeah,
because he's not a big guy. Like, at all. When I stood behind him when we were walking out, I was like, I'm a lot bigger than this man. but when he's on stage, it's like, wow. He's like Diasha, because Diasha's not big either. Really,
yeah.
I mean, he's a phenomenal bodybuilder. He looks huge, but he's not a big man. And the same with Brandon. He has that illusion down to he's just phenomenal.
I have to tell you what, man. At prejudging, I was lucky. I got to sit pretty much right down in front, and I could see I could see the fibers in your skin, and I watched you from first call out on. They worked you. You were up there longer than anyone.
I was battered into the ground. I earned that third place.
You did.
Because I had four call-outs, maybe five.
Yeah.
I had the first call-out, and then the second call-out. Then with Cedric on his... No, then it was... Then I was put back. Then I was brought out again. Then I was put back. And then they brought me out with just Cedric.
Mm.
I was like, what is going on?
I got to tell you, you held it up, though. You held up, man. You didn't get... You did not look as though you were weakening. Your posing did not fail at any point.
I mean, in all fairness, I was dying inside.
Sure.
So, I mean, I practice my posing. I'm not the best, but I do practice. And it's a lot to that midsection control. It's one of the main reasons I've been wearing a belt most sessions. I've been wearing a waist trainer if I ever do cardio, which is quite rare these days. But it's just there as a reminder to keep my waist in.
Okay. When you say waist trainer, is that like a squeam or just like a neoprene belt?
I guess it's more like a squeam kind of thing. It's actually like, you know, the chic belts?
Yes.
It's a bit like that, but much, much lighter weight and thinner.
Okay. Gotcha.
So when I wear it under my clothes, under my hoodie, it's only comfortable if you keep your waist tight. As soon as you relax, it becomes uncomfortable. Just like a belt. I wear a Cardillo belt. So if I relax, it's uncomfortable. If I keep my waist pulled in, it's comfortable. So it just reminds you to keep your waist tight.
Yeah, that was one thing I was thinking, man. You were up there forever.
Yeah. So I mean I've got a few cool little tips from I got a tip from Sean Roden with midsection control.
Really?
He just said try and just focus on your lower two abs. Don't worry about your whole midsection. Just pull your lower two abs in.
Interesting.
And that's what I do is focus on those two abs, and it pulls everything else back in line. And it's half the It's just so you're not constantly doing a crunch on stage all the time.
I could feel it, yeah.
Yeah, you know? And, I spoke to Milos, and he told me you have the quads. Don't flex your quads. Just pull your hips up.
Pull your hips up.
You pull your hips up, and your quads will just kind of fire. So you barely have to flex your quads at all.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So that was quite nice. So there's ways of making it look like you're flexing really hard, but not. I haven't mastered any of these yet, but they're nice little tips.
Nice.
You know, rather than just standing there dying, contracting every muscle in your body.
Yeah. Yeah. Like you said, though, man, you really did earn your spot because they compared you against a lot of different people I don't even know how long that was, but it was basically,
it must have been because they were like, who the fuck is this guy? Like, let's compare him to everyone because we don't know where to place him. What's going on? Who is he?
Yeah.
So, but now they know.
Yeah, that was, I was hoping too. I was like, oh man, I hope he doesn't start fading. I hope he doesn't start fading. And you did manage to hold it together.
Yeah, I mean, I'm quite lucky. I'm one of those bodybuilders that has to get a bit harder when I pose.
Mm, okay.
It does take a lot for me to fade from posing. Again, I think a lot of the reason for that is, which is why I don't look flat when I am flat.
Yeah.
It's because my muscle was built through training, not drugs and insulin, and carbs and just getting a pump. That's so my muscle's real. So it doesn't fade as quickly. It doesn't, when I'm flat, it doesn't look as if I'm that flat. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
And it doesn't take for me to carb. It doesn't take a whole lot for me to carb up. Because which I think you can, you know, a lot of guys do fade very quickly. Did anyone ever see Dorian or Branch fade?
No, that's true.
Or Ronnie fade?
Yeah.
All the hard trainers are the ones that don't really fade.
Yeah. Also, I think it helps that you're just a brutal kind of guy. You know, you've got the fortitude to do the work. Because I know you were, I know you were hurting up there.
Well, I was. And, you know, as they say, just grin and bear it, I guess. You just got to stand up there and be like, I'm not dying. Fuck. and just have fun. Also, a nice little thing is I walked off stage and all the tanners are back there and they were fanning me.
Yeah.
And a lady was like, would you like some oxygen? And I was like, yes, I fucking would.
Yeah.
And I was just sitting there having oxygen. I didn't need it. Didn't need it at all. I was just like, yeah, right. So I'm just stood there being fanned with oxygen around my mouth. So that was nice. So probably another little reason why I lasted so long.
That's nice, man. That's perfect.
So I was like, oh, I'm going to milk everything with this. She was like, would you like some water? I was like, oh, yes, please. I was just like, it's like an all-inclusive resort.
Loved it.
So yeah, that was cool. How well they look after you backstage. I like that.
So when you got off stage after prejudging, what was going through your mind?
I got off stage and everyone was kind of looking at me like, who are you? It was like, it was really, really odd. Really, really odd because it's like, it's hard to explain.
Yeah.
Because everyone was like, good job, Brandon. Good job, you know, William. And then they're looking at me like, what? You're in that position? Huh. You? But in a nice way, like, you know, yeah. Wow. Like, cool, man. Well done. And still just a bit confused because it shouldn't have been me there. It should have been someone else in most people's eyes. But it just wasn't the case. So,
yeah, I think anybody who did watch it, though, I mean, maybe that's not what they were expecting. But once they saw you, man, it was so well deserved. I can't wait to see what happens next.
One thing I'm terrified of is because it was so easy for me, not easy, but it was so straightforward getting me in shape, and I feel like we cracked it so well. I hope it's one of those things that's it, now I know how to do it. And I'm not, this isn't just a one-off.
No.
But it was I can't believe how well everything's gone. It's much easier to work harder when you're not at death's door. You know, and I think because of every prep I've done before has been so brutal, maybe this is just what a normal contest prep feels like.
Yeah, somewhere in between that, man, I'm not sure. But that's definitely, though, I feel like you're on the road to something. So Australia, if you win that, you're planning on shutting things down. Do you have any thoughts? if that doesn't happen, do you have any thoughts about moving forward from there?
If that happens, I'll definitely, without a doubt, cry. Probably in Arnold's face.
Yeah.
I'll probably just grab him and just hold him and be like, ugh. It could happen, couldn't it?
It's possible.
It's very possible. I mean, I've been told by a lot of people it's very possible. If not, I do have a plan B, or it's plan A part two.
Okay.
And that's to do the Indie Pro 2 weeks after, because I can without a doubt win that.
Okay.
My biggest competition there would be Kuklo.
Yeah, that'll be a good show, man. Steve's a big guy. I feel like you've got, if I had to compare the two of you, I feel like, well, first of all, you've just beat him. And second of all, I think you've got some good shape on your side. He's a big dude, isn't he? He's a really big guy.
He's a big guy. He is. But he's beatable.
Yeah.
And that was a really good Steve Kuklo as well.
Yeah, that's true. That might've been the best Steve Kuklo I've seen.
Exactly. And I beat him quite like handedly.
Right.
So, I mean, providing we both show up just as good as we were at the Under the Indie, then, like, you know, that's a win for me.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know. I'm just taking every day as it comes, really. I still don't know what the fuck's going on.
That's okay.
It's just like the whole thing's mental. It's so surreal.
Yeah,
like even just like my social media things. It's just the amount of messages I've had. It's
really
phenomenal. The amount my following's gone up like 20,000 in a week.
Holy cow!
It's I could never have believed how much of a response I've got.
Wow!
Like it's ridiculous. The amount of support, like, because Redcon One were really cool. They put a t-shirt out for me.
No kidding.
Yeah, they put that Juggernaut t-shirt out.
Okay.
So they're selling it at the booth, and I think it was one of the best-selling shirts of the weekend.
No kidding.
It was my Luke Sando Juggernaut t-shirt.
Did you make it down to the expo at all and talk to people down there?
I did. Yeah, I went down every day.
Nice. How did that go?
That was really good. I mean, I had a really, really big queue on the Sunday.
Nice.
Which was really weird. I thought, oh, that's for Brian Shaw. And then I started walking away, and one of the Redcon staff was like, Luke, no, they're for you.
Oh my gosh.
And I was like, what the fuck's going on? It's, I don't think I'll ever get old. It's crazy. And, you know, I've been hearing some really, really, really promising things from a lot of big names and the big people in the industry who know what they're talking about. I've been talking to me, and I've been hearing things they've been saying and taking on board. It's just fucking, I don't know what's going on. It's not something I kind of was hoping it would happen eventually. I just didn't think it would all of a sudden just start happening this quickly.
Mm.
Even though it hasn't been quickly, because I've been doing this a long time now.
Yeah.
And I failed a lot.
Mm. So between now and the time you fly out for Australia, are you still getting in the gym now? What's going on with
your
training?
Yeah. I just got off the plane and went to the gym and just carried on training as normal.
Okay. So you mentioned, you got into the gym. I wasn't sure whether you'll be training hard between now and then.
I'm just training as normal.
Okay. So there's no changes. And you said you're feeling pretty strong too.
Yeah. I'm just using pretty much, maybe on purpose, I'm using a little bit less weight than I normally would.
Okay.
Not by much. I mean, I did barbell rows today with four plates. I did three plates, but I did like four sets with three plates.
Okay.
Instead of like one or two plates, so four plates.
Okay.
So I'm still keeping things relatively heavy, but not like ridiculous. Because I think it would be a bit silly of me in between all this traveling to just batter myself into the ground with training.
Absolutely.
It's not going to help anything. So it's just about kind of keeping things stimulated, keeping things ticking over. And keeping things, on the right path.
Right on, man. Now, how far away are you from James? I'm not sure how close you guys are
together. About 40 minutes.
Okay. Have you gotten a chance to see him at all, or will you get a chance to?
No, not yet. I mean, I think he's been quite busy, because as far as I'm aware, he's in the middle of opening a second gym with Kings.
You're kidding me. Nice.
I think he put it on his Instagram a couple of days ago, so I think he's been quite busy with that, and I've obviously been busy with everything since I've landed. So
okay.
Our paths haven't crossed, unfortunately. I'm sure I'll see him. I'm sure I will.
Yeah, right on. I have to tell you, too, at the show, I'm sitting there in the audience listening to everybody cheer. I heard there were so many people that were calling your name, so many people that wanted to see you do well.
It's really crazy, isn't it? It really is.
It's not crazy to me. It doesn't shock me at all.
It does, because it's like, I did a podcast with Muscular Development a couple of weeks ago, and they're like, oh yeah, you're everyone's talking about you. One of like the fastest, they said like some shit, like you're one of the fastest rising stars or whatever they said. And I was like, really? Because I don't see it, because I'm on the inside. I don't look out. I don't know. I don't notice anything. I don't read anything about myself. I don't watch anything about myself.
Yeah.
I just don't realize it. And it's just I'm just kind of doing the same as what I've always done. So I walked out after Brandon and Akeem Williams. And they're very, very popular.
Sure.
And I was expecting crickets. or just somebody in the background.
Yeah.
And then the place just kind of lit up. I was like, wow.
I love that you found such humility before this happened, too. You know, I feel like it's just perfect, man. It really is.
Yeah, I mean, no one can ever, like, accuse me of being given anything, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I've worked extremely hard for a long time.
So your training partner, Ben, he's coming out with you. You guys are obviously going to be doing more work, more video stuff for this.
Yeah, well, yeah, which is really cool. Because actually what's happened is Ben has now become a part of Redcon 1 as well. They've brought him on.
Oh, nice.
Because he's done a lot of my videos. He's got a great look. He doesn't compete anymore. He doesn't really interest him.
Okay.
He's extremely strong. I mean, he does the same weights as myself, James, JP. We all train the same way. He's just as strong.
Yeah.
If not stronger on some things, he's a freak. So they brought him on board. So he's sending me some of my videos as well. So yeah, he's coming out with me. He comes with me everywhere now. He's not allowed to not come with me because he's a lucky charm. He saved my life pretty much in California.
Okay.
And then he's now been here and he's like my lucky charm now. And he's very honest. If things are going wrong, he'll tell me. And he's also very good at calming me down as well. So if I get pissed off and things aren't going well, he's like, don't worry about it. It's fine.
Nice.
And he convinces me that everything's fine, and he makes me feel a lot more ease. So he makes the whole thing just a lot more bearable. And yeah. I really don't think I could do it without him, to be fair.
It's great to have a friend, especially when you're traveling, you know?
Oh, no, he's not my friend. I just pay him. Yeah. No, you're right. It's very good. I mean, and he's enjoying it as well. He's getting to see a lot of the world with me, which is really cool. So, and also because he's the part owner of Brutal Muscle with me, we get to film everything. So,
yes.
So we can expense it.
You were telling me at the show somehow they gave him passes so he could get backstage and everything.
He went to like the media people and said, oh, I'm here to film with Luke. And they were Luke Sander. And he's like, oh, yeah, okay. Who are you? I'm Ben Chan. And he was like, oh, your name's like, hey, so who are you here with? And he was like, Redcon 1. And he was like, yeah, cool. And he just printed him out a backstage pass.
Nice.
But it was just for the, but I had to come and sort of say, yeah, he's with me, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So, and he didn't get in anyone's way. And the good thing is, because he had Redcon 1, he's now submitted the footage to Redcon 1 so they can use it because they own all the footage because they were the main sponsor. So actually, it all worked out really nicely.
That's perfect, man.
So he got lots of great footage backstage.
That's perfect. Well, I got to say, man, I couldn't have been happier to see the way things came together.
It's incredible.
I've been watching you, you know, since before you had turned pro and saw you there 2 years back and to see it come full circle. In fact, on my Facebook memories, it came up. The picture that we took with everybody, Jordan and Dr. Scott and everybody else. And, you know, the first thing I said is, wow, Luke's face looked a lot different this year than it did back then.
Yeah. Oh, and like, I just watched some of the footage today, and I was like, oh, my God. Like, if I didn't have a beard, I'd look like a brown skeletal. I mean, I was also very surprised that the judges were cool with the beard. They were cool. They were like, yeah, leave it. It looks great. They were absolutely fine with it. No one cared. We were very dubious. Even Aaron Singerman, he was like, no, yeah, keep it. Like, I think what it is, it's because I've kind of always had one.
Mm.
I've had it for so long. I've done all my social media, all my videos, you know, everything like with it.
Yeah.
It would be way more weird if I shaved it off.
I could see that. Yeah.
You know, it's like if Jay Cutler turned up on stage with a big beard, I'm like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
But someone like Rooley, he always has a bit of a beard. Rooley's never been clean shaven on stage. He always has a beard.
Yeah, he does, doesn't he?
And no one ever notices. If Rooley just turned up with clean shaven, everyone would be like, what the fuck?
Who's that guy? Then they really wouldn't know who that guy was.
Exactly. So I think because it's also 2019 and there's fucking people doing cross-gender fucking sports, I don't think a beard's going to be a problem, you know?
True. You got people with purple hair on stage. So.
I mean, I could have done it with a vagina and everyone would have been like, oh, that's normal. It's 2019. So I was really pleased with that because, you know, I didn't want to have to shave.
Right on.
Pretty much. So, like I said, it's very cool of what you, it's very cool that you've followed me for a while. And I've been very appreciative of all the support I've been getting. And then, you know, and also of you guys being backstage afterwards, that made the whole thing more kind of real. Because we've been in contact for a few years now, you know, I've been on the show a few times in the past, you know, the whole size game, we're all interconnected.
Yes.
So seeing you guys backstage, they made the whole thing more like fun. Because, you know, it's like, we're all like, it's almost like we're all doing it. That's cool.
Oh, dude, I couldn't agree more. I mean, obviously this is your thing, but I felt like I got to have a part of it. I got to have a part of what Luke was doing. It made me happy, not only for you as a bodybuilder, but as a friend.
I think maybe in a way that's why, because a lot of people said I'm getting more popular. Maybe that's what it is. It's because I'm just one of the guys. I'm just one of the normal people.
Yeah, but you're 265 pounds with an awesome physique. That's the only difference. VJ and I were saying he's still at heart a bodybuilding nerd.
Oh yeah, of course, and I was always, you know. It's like I think all the bodybuilders are a bit like that because people forget that like Phil Heath is massively into Dragon Ball Z. It's like that's his thing.
Yeah.
And you know a lot of, and like Akeem Williams is very much into his drawing, his comic books as well, and so is Juan Morel. And like people don't know this, I think every bodybuilder's got something they're into that no one else really knows about. That's quite geeky.
Yeah.
You know, because to be as obsessive as a bodybuilder is, they have to be a nerd somewhere in their life. They have to be.
Will you guys get a chance to record Size Game before you leave?
Yeah, we're recording it on Sunday actually. So,
excellent.
We're all getting together on Sunday evening.
All right, man. Well, listen, I don't want to take up too much more of your time. Oh, one more question. How often is Chris looking at you now?
Every day.
Every day. So you wake up in the morning, shoot pictures, and send them over?
Yeah, I wake up in the morning. Yeah, so I wake up in the morning. It's really annoying, actually, because I have to go. There's a little, like, 24-hour fitness gym.
Okay.
Just out around the corner from me. And I go there to do my cardio. And because I haven't done cardio for so long, I literally have to drive there just to do my pictures.
Mm.
It's like fuck's sake. I wish I just had a good spot at home.
But
I used to do them in my home in front of that bookcase, but now I have like new sofas and couches and stuff, so I have no room to do it.
Okay.
But in a way it's nice because it kind of sets my day up.
Yeah.
So it's like, so I get up, I take my fat burners and everything, have a cup of coffee, and then I go to the gym, I do my pictures, and on the way back I stop by the grocery store to pick up anything that I've run out of what I might need for the day.
Yeah.
And then it sets up my day. Come home, eat, take dogs for a walk. So yeah, it's a nice setup.
Listen, I'll tell you, you know, me, like I said, I'm just a state level guy, but I got to a point with my bodybuilding where I came to just love it. And for me, it's not suffering. I just love the experience and to see where you're at and to know that you're in that place, man. And I'm so happy for you because these are the greatest days of your life. These could be right here, you know.
Yeah, they could be, but I'm going out of my way pretty hard to make sure they're not, to make sure I can make a lot better ones.
Absolutely. I love that idea.
You know, and I think it's I do think this is just the beginning for me now. I don't mean that in a cocky way.
No, I know what you mean.
It's just I feel like I finally feel like I've cracked it in my own head. Hmm. So I think I can really start being, I think I've been a better bodybuilder the last 6 months than I have the last 6 years in terms of how I've done everything. So, I mean, if I can maintain that, that's why I'm saying the last 6 months, this is kind of now my beginning. Now I'm really tapped into what it takes, and I love it.
And you really think it's that positivity you have showing through.
But it's like anything you put that amount of effort in and you don't actually like it that much, it's never going to come out that well.
Yeah.
But if you really love what you're doing, no matter what it is in your life, whether it's a hobby, your job, your relationship, whatever it is, if you love it that much and you're not getting joy from it, then what the fuck are you doing?
Yeah.
So it makes no sense. That's insanity.
Yeah.
So I took it for granted, and then I realized how lucky I was and how much I definitely do enjoy it. And I just thought, I mean, as long as I keep carrying on enjoying it, I can keep getting better. So,
yeah.
Same with everything in life. If you really enjoy it, you'll get better at it.
All right. So you know, we talked a little bit about Brutal Muscle. Plug that for me, and let me know where people can go to find everything that you're doing.
Yeah, so we have the subscription site now. It's up and running. We're having an app built at the moment. So it's Brutal Muscle. Yep, so it's brutalmuscleonline.com. We're going to have the app ready within the next month. It'll just basically be the mobile version of the site, but a lot easier to navigate, a lot more tidy, but in an app format. So you don't have to go onto your internet on your phone. We've got a lot of videos and forums, interactive. So basically all the forums are interactive. Myself, there's a couple of other pros on there as well. We have Dave Crosland. He's moderating the chemical warfare section, which is basically our whole drug side of the website.
Nice.
You can ask any questions you want, like literally anything, and you'll get answers. So in the trenches is our main thing. You know, we're investing a lot of time, effort, and money into putting content out from a lot of pros. We have all my Arnold week, the whole week's up there. We've got Josh Lenartowicz has got videos in there.
Oh, yeah.
We have myself training with Nathan Dasher in there. We've got Matt Jansen's done training videos. We've got Milo Sarchev interviews on the site. We've got an interview with Chris Acedo going up this week. You know, so we have a ton of stuff on there, a lot of stuff still to come. We've got Fuad Abiad and Dusty Hanshaw coming this month.
Cool.
Doing some videos for us. So, you know, we've put a lot of time and effort into these, into this, and it's £6.99 a month, which is around the cost of when magazines were good. And the reason we've got a subscription is because this content isn't free.
Sure.
So the more subscribers we have, the more content we can put out. The more content we can put out, the more subscribers we can get. The more subscribers we get, the bigger amount of content we can put out. We also have a whole strongman and powerlifting section there as well.
So nice.
We've got two world's strongest man competitors. We've got Lawrence Sharlife in the UK. He's got a day in the life. And we're going to do some training with other world's strongest man competitors, like Terry Hollins as well, which would be cool.
Nice.
So we're trying to just branch out into everything. But yeah, that's brutalmuscleonline.com. $10 a month.
Awesome. We're going to have all that tagged in the show notes, guys. I highly suggest that everybody checks this out and follows along with what's happening, because this is, you're at the point, Luke, where this is, we can call what you're doing the history of bodybuilding right now.
Well, I hope so. You know, we believe that hardcore bodybuilding is about to make a resurgence.
I agree, man.
And I think I think seeing my physique get rewarded is a testament to that.
Because
I'm not the prettiest. I mean, but I have a kind of certain look to me that's a bit more old school. I'm a bit denser. I've bought the condition now. I have I can do a vacuum. You know, and my physique was built through training, and it looks different. And people appreciate that. And I think people are longing to see that again. They're longing to see they want to see hard work rewarded, not just genetics.
Hell yeah.
I think that's what people want to see. And we want to see how that's fucking made. So that's why we're covering everything on our site. You know, but it's not a coaching website. There's a ton of information on there. We got workouts, everything. We got articles, reviews, drug articles from Dave, everything. But that's not what we're about. It's about entertainment and about showing everyone what real bodybuilding is from every perspective.
Yeah, we need more of that, man. You know,
yeah, because not many people are doing it anymore, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, I'm glad that you are. And
well, you guys are with the podcast. I mean, this network's incredible.
Thank you.
There's a lot of show coverage, which is great. That's getting better.
Yeah.
But the actual bodybuilders themselves and what makes, and we want to cover the people, the athletes, who they are. We want to see that, because you know, like all these other sports, like UFC or boxing, you get to know the actual fighters.
Yeah.
You get to know their personalities. You get to root for your favorite person, not just your favorite fighter. We want that bodybuilding. We want people to know the people behind the muscle in a way. You can get to know everyone a bit more. Like, you know, there hasn't been a battle for the Olympia since what, 2012?
Yeah, we need that, man.
Yeah, and they were shit DVDs, but they were brilliant.
But I watched every minute, you know.
Yeah, they were great, but they were terribly made.
Yes,
terrible, terrible. But they were so entertaining because they were so raw and real. You got to know the person, and that makes a difference when people are on stage.
It makes the experience so much richer for the fans and for the, you know, the people who love
bodybuilding. Oh, exactly. And if you want bodybuilders to be popular, make bodybuilders popular.
I like that, man. I like everything about your attitude. After that that last interview we did with Dave Crossland, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I've always been a fan of yours, but it got me rooting for you so much more, and I'm so happy to see you in this place.
Thank you, man. I appreciate that. Thank you.
All right, guys. For another episode of Advices Radio with IFBB Pro Luke Sandow, after his third place finish at the Arnold Classic, we will see you soon. Thank you, Luke.
No problem. Thank you very much for having me.
All right, guys, that brings us to the close of another episode of Advices Radio. Thanks, as always, for listening. We have a lot more coming out, so stay tuned this week for another episode of Drugs and Stuff with Dave Crossland. Then we'll have Muscle Minds with Dr. Scott Stevenson. And, of course, tune in to Bodybuilding Nerds Radio on Friday with BJ and myself. Until then, follow along with our Instagram at Advices Radio Network. You can message me there or at Scott McNally 1. And guys, we will see you soon.
Advices Radio Network.